cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to His way and His love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone for me. They're singing the praises of God's love, I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be guided by Jesus. He will carry me over, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to His way and His love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I'll know that my soul will be free from all care. He'll open the gate, bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I'll meet Jesus there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to His way and His love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me to the heaven above.
Amen. That's the gospel light. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and have those that are being discipled. You guys can go ahead and be dismissed now. And the rest of us, we're going to go ahead and take our Bibles and go to the Gospel or the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles. And we'll save the prayer time for last tonight. So the Acts of the Apostles, where we're going to be going tonight. And find Acts chapter number 18. Once you find Acts 18, if you would, please go ahead and stand if you are able. If you're not able, I definitely understand that. But if you are able, let's go ahead and stand. Acts 18. You need a Bible. Bibles are in front of you in the pew. But Acts chapter 18. By the way, we are talking about what Paul is going through here in the book of Acts, and hoping that we can mimic the New Testament church, being that the New Testament church is really kind of spelled out here in Acts. Most of the operation of the church comes later on in the epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Romans, and all those. But much of the evangelism happens through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And we're in chapter number 18. And we're going to read verses 1 down through 5. That's where we're at so far. We may get to 6 today, but I do not think we will. But we're going to do our dead level best. Everybody at Acts 18, say amen. 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 Well, y'all don't sound like y'all thrilled about being there. Amen. It sounds like y'all in prison. Everybody thrilled about being at Acts 18, say amen.
Amen.
That's much better, much better. Amen. Hey, you know, we could be in the worst prison in Tucson, but we're in church. Amen. Did you ever think about that? Amen. You could be without air conditioning here tonight. God forbid, amen. Christians wouldn't come to church. We'd have AC, amen. Y'all probably stay at home. But we do have air conditioning, amen. We're not in prison, amen. And we get a chance to hear the word of God. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Read those with me, starting in verse number 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Amen. Well, he did some talking already in verse number 4. In verse number 5, he's really going to get heated up. Amen. You ever been in a situation where you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody, and then maybe somebody else comes around, maybe a brother or sister in Christ or someone else that's on the same sheet of music with you, and you're emboldened, you get kind of, man, I can do this. I can really do this. Amen. And you find that's what's happening to Paul here at the arrival of Silas and Timotheus. And I do pray that God will be gracious to us tonight and get us a blessing out of this area of Scripture. We can leave here emboldened for Christ and more aggressive in what we do when it comes to sharing the gospel with others. Amen. Because men, women, boys, and girls still need to be saved. Amen. It's just a fact of the matter. Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. So people need to be saved. And let's trust that God's going to speak through the scriptures tonight and encourage us in what we can do, just like Paul did. Father, bless now your word as we look at it tonight. May you get all the praise, honor, and glory from it. Lord, we lift your name up on high. Lord, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory, Lord. And we want to just glimpse on some of that glory tonight that Paul is giving out the gospel, giving you all the honor and the praise. And Lord, some folks are going to get upset about that. But I pray that as we give out the gospel, we would see great fruit as a result of the gospel being given out. Thank you again for these thy servants that are here tonight. Thank you for those that are stepped out doing discipleship. Thank you for the Patch program as well, where kids can get taught the word of God. Lord, never want to be negligent to remember our nursery workers as well that are faithful. We keep keeping the young ones across the hallway there. Now bless, now lift our hearts and our minds up by the Spirit of God. We may be understanding what the Word of God and the will of God is for our lives in this area of evangelism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. By the way, if you guys think it's been hot out here, amen, and you go over to the desert in Saudi Arabia, it gets a little bit hotter over there. Amen. But it has been very, very hot here lately. Continuing with the study of the Acts here again, we talked about the Acts of the Apostles to the New Testament pretty much is what Genesis is to the Bible. It is the door or the gateway that opens up the understanding of many of the New Testament churches that were there, like churches like Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, and Rome, and Corinth. You know, the book of the Acts really charters the ground how all of those churches got started. And if you don't have a fundamental grasp of the book of Acts and how those churches were planted, it's really kind of difficult to really comprehend what Paul is saying and why he's saying it to the churches. Amen. We'll look at one such church today briefly here, but just giving you an understanding of the background as to what's going on here. We find Paul now just leaving Athens, coming down to this city called Corinth. It was an immoral city. It was a large city, and it was a port city. When you have a large city, you have a port city, you're going to have an immoral city. Amen. You got sailors coming in from all over the place and doing all sorts of filth. By the way, can anybody tell me, why do sailors always get the bad rap as being the most filthiest and the things? Why do sailors get that bad rap? Anybody tell me? Maybe because it's true. Maybe because it's true. Yeah, Air Force, we're like at the top, you know. We're kind of like the sophisticated bunch. Then you got the brains, amen. Then you got the Navy, you know, they're the water bunch, amen. They're out there, you know, patrolling the seas. Then you got the Army. Army is just tough. Then you got the Marines. I wouldn't want to be a Marine, amen. Marines are too tough for me, amen. But, you know, you have the sailors here. And this being a port city, you would have ships coming in and out and bringing their wares. And so whenever you had that, you had a city that was rich. but a city that was rich in sin too, because all these sailors would bring their sin, deposit their sin, and leave their sin at this city. And some people would embrace that sin, others wouldn't. You find here now Corinth is part of this wickedness, and these guys here now are going to get a chance to receive the gospel. We talked about verses 1 through 3. We said that Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and working. We saw verse 3. It says, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. By the occupation, they were tent makers. And we saw that Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and working. And by the way, we mentioned this, that you and I, as Christian people, ought to be the best employees and the best employers your job has. The Christian ought to be a crop above. Why? We've got Jesus in us. We're born again. We've got the Savior. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Word of God. We can function better than the world can function without God. Amen. Why? Because we've got God. And so we've got that moral compass on the inside through the Spirit of God. And so I mentioned that as Paul is preaching the gospel and working, he had no problems with that. You and I ought to be the best workers, the best employers, and the best employees. And then we came up to verse number 4, and we saw Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and worshiping. It said down in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greek. And so he had no problem preaching the gospel and worshiping. As they were there going through things, Paul was pointing out some things about Jesus Christ and equating to them their Old Testament scriptures where Christ was at in every opportunity he could. He was in Isaiah. He was in the Psalms. He was in Jeremiah. He was in Ezekiel. He was in Daniel. He was even in Genesis, by the way. Amen. Hey, what did God say? Let us make man in our image. Now, who's us? Last time I checked, it was the Trinity. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Said the Spirit of God moved upon the water. So he was way back then. And so as Paul here is preaching the gospel and worshiping at the same time, he's getting these Jews to understand more about Jesus Christ. It says he reasoned in the Sabbath, in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, trying to get them to understand who Jesus Christ was. And we mentioned this as well. When we get guests that come here, oftentimes we want to make sure that we're courteous with them. We converse with them. We're concerned about them because our concern is to give Christ to them. Amen. And so if we can befriend them and ask them, hey, how did you enjoy the services? Hey, did you understand the services? Hey, have you been born again? And all questions like that. Why? People need to be saved. By the way, people are coming to hear the Word of God. Amen. And by the way, there are going to be more that are out there that need to hear the Word of God than that come in here. Just face it. Most of the folks in here know God already. It's the people outside these doors that don't know God. Amen. So Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and working, no problem preaching the gospel and worshiping in verse 4. And now we're going to come down to this next point, verse number 5. Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and witnessing. No problem preaching the gospel and witnessing. You say, witnessing? I thought he was doing that in verse 4. He was. But guess what? He got a little bit more fired up come down to verse number 5. Amen. Yeah. Have you ever found out how you can kind of witness to somebody and then you can witness to them? You know what I'm saying? You can kind of say, well, you know, Jesus loves you. You know, God bless you. You know, you can kind of give a general witness. You know, I'm saved. You know, but then you can witness. You know, do you know if you just die right now, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. Do you know you're a sinner? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, and the wage of sin is death. Do you understand that? Do you know Jesus of the Bible? Yeah. Now, you can witness, but then you can witness. You get down to the nitty-gritty where you're pressing for a decision. You're pressing for someone to make a decision to trust Christ. You're giving the gospel, and you're giving the gospel with such a boldness and such a conviction and such a passion that that alone drives the person to say, you know what, I need to do something. I mean, I need to do something. I mean, when I heard the gospel preached back in February 3rd, 1991, I mean, it was preached in such a way with such an impact that the Holy Spirit said, son, if you don't do something today, you're in trouble. And I mean, I felt that. I mean, I felt it like it was nobody's business. Amen. And I said, man, if I don't do something today, Brother Hall, you know that feeling, don't you? Amen. If I don't do something today, I'm doomed. I'm going to hell. Amen. And hell is not where I want to go. Amen. Mama didn't raise me to go to hell. Amen. I want to go to heaven. She always talked about heaven. She didn't say a whole lot about hell. Amen. And I know where I want to go and I know where I don't want to go. And so that day I was pressing my spirit and something had to happen. And guess what? I got saved. So Paul here in verse number 5, it says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Say, preacher, what's the difference from what he did in verse 5 and what he did in verse 4? Well, in verse 4, it just says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. You know, he just kind of talked about Jesus Christ and kind of made conversation. And in the synagogue there, he talked about Jesus Christ. But now you come in verse 5, he's getting with it. He's getting with it. And notice what it says again. When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Let's pick this apart a little bit. We're talking about Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and witnessing. Let's talk about, first of all, the report he may have received. The report that he may have received. What are you talking about, preacher, here? Maybe they came down. Silas and Timotheus were last seen back in Berea. How many of y'all remember that? Go back to chapter number 17. I'm sorry, go back to chapter number, 17. And notice verse number 13. Matter of fact, go up to verse 10. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto where? Berea. They had just come from Thessalonica, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, notice this, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, how many? Not a few. But, there we go, when the Jews of Thessalonica had found that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, remember the Jews in Thessalonica ran Paul out of town? Now those same Thessalonians come down to Berea, and they're going to run Paul out of town again. So they came thither also and stirred up the people, and then immediately the brethren sent away who? Paul, to go, as it were, to the sea. But who? Silas and who? Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. So Paul had left and gone to Athens. Timotheus and Silas stayed in Berea for a while. And by the way, they came to meet him later on. You say, preacher, how do we know that? Hold your finger there and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Matter of fact, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because what we find here is the disciples, Paul, and going on down to Corinth by himself, Paul and Silas and Timotheus come later on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's pick it up in verse number 17. Now remember, Paul got run out of town, right? He got run out of Thessalonica, so he didn't know how they were doing. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, notice verse 17, says this, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Amen. Anytime you want to do something for God, believe it or not, Satan's going to hinder you. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now, notice verse number 1 of chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at where? Athens alone. What the Bible said? They said they conducted Paul to Athens. So Paul went to Athens by himself. And where was Timothy at and Silas? Left in Berea. But now notice what it says in verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So somewhere along the line here, Paul, whilst he was in Athens, sent Timothy and Silas back down to Thessalonica to get a report on them. Why? He got run out of town. And Paul says, you know what? I'm going to go on to Athens. I got run out of town in Berea, so I'm going to go here. Silas, I want you and Timotheus to get back down to Thessalonica and see what happened to those young Christians down there. Now, we got run out of town. Want to make sure they're okay. Okay, now I'm going on to Athens. All right, y'all got the picture? Paul in chapter number 15, of course, he goes, or not chapter 15, chapter 17 goes down to Athens. Notice what it says in verse 3. Of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, now Paul is speaking to Thessalonica, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came past, and you know. By the way, did they see tribulation? Yes, they did. They saw Paul run out of town. They saw tribulation amongst themselves. By the way, a Christian that lives for God, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer tribulation. You show me a Christian that's got an easy road in this life, they're not living for God. Amen. All that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. The Bible says that. Hey, the world does not like you to live godly. It makes them look bad. And so they're going to try to put some dirt on you. And so when you have hardships, praise God. As the Bible says, count it all joy for diverse temptations. Amen. Why? I'm living for God. Now, if you're living for the devil, you're getting beat by God because you're living for the devil. Amen. But you want to live for God. Amen. And he said, you're going to have this happen. Notice verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Paul said, you know what? In Athens, I wanted to know how you guys were doing. And so I sent Timothy and I sent Silas to see how you're doing. Because, you know, I came in there and some people got saved. And I was excited about that. But then I got run out of town. I don't know how you're doing. Pastor White, don't you hate it when somebody gets saved and then they leave and you don't know what happened to them? You want to know what happened to them. You start asking, hey, what happened to brother so-and-so? What happened to sister so-and-so? They came in, they made a profession of faith, they got saved, and now where they're at? And you get concerned, and Paul is concerned. And Paul says, I'm going to send somebody down there. He says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, notice this, and our labor be in vain. Verse 6, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by our faith. Paul said, you know what? I got excited when I knew you guys were okay. I got a little pep in my step when I found out you guys were okay. My labor wasn't in vain when we came down to Thessalonica. That crowd that ran us out, they came down to Berea. They ran us out of there. I had to go over to Athens, and I said, Timothy, Silas, go back and check on them. They went back and checked on them, and then they came right back here to Corinth, and they coming to Paul with this testimony, hey, everything's good to go. Can't you see why Paul would be stirred in his spirit? Can't you see why he'd be a little pressed in his spirit?
Amen.
Can't you see what he said? It worked down there. It worked in Thessalonica like it always did. And God, I never doubted you a minute, but you know what? I'm just more emboldened now. Those folks in Athens didn't get saved, but guess what? There's some folks in Corinth that are going to get saved. Amen. It worked down there. It worked in Berea. It didn't work in Athens except a few folks. Amen. I'm going to stand up and preach that same gospel at Corinth again. He says, for now, we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Go back to Acts chapter number 17 with me. So we pick it up now. Paul in 1 Thessalonians wrote back to the Thessalonians saying, you know what? I sent Timothy to check up on you. Everything was good. But now we pick it up in present tense here. And verse number, chapter 18. It says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia. Now, where's Macedonia? Of course, that's Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica. That's all that area. He's excited now because they came with that report that we just read in 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Y'all with me? Y'all following that? Some of y'all saying, Pastor, you went over here, then you went back here. What age are we in? Where we at? Amen. Just trying to give you the sense of what's going on here. Paul now is rekindling what's going on. He says, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. And I believe the report that he received from Timothy and from Silas encouraged him. And it seemed that they bought some kind of special boost at the arrival of them coming down here. Because when you go back over there to chapter 17 and verse number 10 through 12, we see that they got run out. Amen. And Paul had to go and leave and go to Athens. Amen. Perhaps they bought with them a good report from Berea, from Thessalonica, and they were encouraging and they were emboldening Paul to do the business of the gospel. By the way, there's another reason why he could have been emboldened and encouraged as well. Go to Mark chapter number 6 with me. Mark chapter number 6, the gospel of Mark. And this is another reason why he could have been emboldened. Because you think about it, how would you feel out there witnessing all by yourself? How many of y'all would be nervous? Especially if you got ran out of Thessalonica. You already got run out of Berea. You go to Athens, only a few folks get saved. And now you come into Corinth. How many of y'all would be a little skittish by now? How many of y'all would probably be ready to say, you know what, is it really worth it? Do I really want to do this again by myself, alone? Do I really want to go through this grief and this pain? Paul might have been just a little disheartened. And Mark chapter 6, notice verse number 7. Is that the one I want? I think I wrote down the wrong reference. Okay, verse 7, 6, 7. Yeah, this is Jesus. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by how many? Two and two. How many was that in Athens? One. Now, Jesus laid this down and said, you know what? When you go, I want you guys to go by two and two. And he said he gave them power over unclean spirits. Amen. And he told them what they were supposed to do down there, told them what they ought to preach and what all the things that they ought to do. Amen. And so it could be that Paul now knew that there's just this encouragement in numbers. And so now I'm not alone. I've got Timothy, I've got Silas, and not only do I have Timothy and Silas, guess what? They came with a good report about the Christians in Thessalonica, and I'm excited all over again about the gospel. What am I saying here? The Bible says that Paul was pressed in his spirit. What pressed him? I believe the knowledge that Thessalonica was doing good all over again, and that the labor was not in vain. I believe also he saw Timothy, and he saw Silas, and they were still unharmed and still with him. Guess what? Sometimes assistants get a little discouraged too. Assistants see what's going on with the church and see what's going on with the people. And assistants can get a little discouraged too. Teachers can get a little discouraged too. Amen. These are his assistants. They're with him and they come back fired up. Amen. Tell you what, you give me a fired up assistant, some fired up deacons like we have here. Amen. You can go. You can go. You can go. Somebody say, look, I'm with you, the preacher. Let's go soul winning. Let's go out there and plant a church. Let's go. Hey, you can go. I believe that Paul got really encouraged by Silas and Timotheus. Number one, the report that he received, but also by the resolve he showed. Notice the resolve that he showed down there. Go back to Acts chapter 18. And in Acts chapter 18, the resolve he showed, it says, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, that's a report that that he received. But then he was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that this was Jesus Christ. In other words, he was pressed. He was compelled. He was arrested. He was taken. He was urged. Those are the meanings of that word pressed. He was really compelled now to share the gospel. It says he was pressed in the spirit and testify to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. The word testify means to witness, to charge, to protest earnestly, or to affirm vehemently. Vehemently. I mean, he had some passion behind it. So having Silas here and having Timotheus here allowed him to be burdened more to give the gospel. And I think coupled with the fact that Thessalonica was doing good, Berea was doing good. He came to Athens, some folks got saved, then he come to Corinth, he's going to do the same thing all over again. Think about it. Aren't you, Pastor White, how about if nobody shows up for soul winning? How encouraged would you be? You want to encourage yourself in the Lord, of course, you know that. But imagine if 50 folks came out to soul winning. Would you be encouraged about that? Amen. The more people come, the more people can go, the more people can sow. And the more people that go and the more people that sow, the more chances of people can get saved. Amen. And so when you have these numbers that are behind the individual Paul is encouraged with the gospel. He's emboldened with the gospel and he's pressed in his spirit. He's going to urge these folks now to do the will and the work of God. Amen. He was more burdened. Amen. The resolve that he showed. By the way, we had the kids were out here about a month ago, Brother Hall, when they was out there talking to that guy. There was some big bug out there and the kids were just afraid of this bug. And the neighbor boy across the street was out there in his little big wheel. He saw they were all afraid. They were panicking, running around. And he came over to the gate to see what was going on. And then they were like, this bug. And he went over and caught the bug. And then they were afraid of him. And he had the bug in his hand. And, you know, and I'm like, you're pretty brave. And he had the bug in his hand. And he was like, see, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. You know. And he kept doing this. And they run. They come back. You know, and you know how kids do that stuff. You know. And finally, he let the bug go. And I don't know who it was that started it, but somebody said, hey, do you go to church? And then as soon as somebody said, do you go to church? Somebody else came in and said, can we give you a track? And when somebody else said, can we give you a track? Joshua and Layla and Faith come running into church to get a track. Terrell and G2 was out there witnessing to the guy. G2 reached in his backpack and pulled out his Bible. And G2 started going down the Bible with the guy. And then Layla and Joshua came back with the track. And then they said, we need some more Bibles. They went back. They came in and get some Bibles. They ran back out. Little Layla got mad. They won't let me give him a track. You know, he said, boy, I only got one hand. Amen. And they were all in that. You know what I believe got them so excited? They were emboldened and encouraged because they were together. It wasn't just one. Terrell was there, G2 was there, and they were going down the Bible, and Brother Hall and I was standing over there. What are them kids talking about over there? They're talking about foolishness, I bet. Then we saw the Bible open. I said, okay, that ain't foolishness. Then when the Bible got open, they came back running in here to get a gospel track and went back out. And they still open up that Bible over here, and they turn it over here. And I'm thinking, look at these little kids over there. I said, Brother Hall, they trying to lead a boy to the Lord. And they went back through that Bible, man. They're stepping down there. Somebody get a Bible, amen. And then they come back with the Bible, amen. Layla was involved. Faith was involved. Joshua was involved. G2, they were all over there. And before long, you see the little boy bowing his head like this. And then you hear, G2 or Terrell was leading them in prayer. And then right after that, they said, Daddy, he just got saved. And then you heard the mama, whatever his name is, come on home. And they said, well, at least he got saved. And he rode his little big wheel right back on down the alleyway. And we just saw him the other day. What am I saying? One would have been scared probably by themselves. But two got involved. Then three. Then four. Then there was five. All trying to give this one little guy the gospel. And guess what? They went down there talking about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection. Hey, all have sinned. That's why he had to die. He was buried for our sins and our trespasses. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to confess with your mouth. You've got to believe in your heart. And me and Brother Hall over there like, whoa. These little soul winners out here. I believe the same thing happened to Paul. Paul by himself was kind of like, man, you know what? It's getting tough. But then here comes Silas. Man, Paul, you're not going to believe this. Remember how they kicked us out? That little handful of folks that got saved? Man, they are going on for God. They're excited. And then Timotheus comes over there with Silas. And like, yeah, man, it was exciting. You should have been there, Paul. But yeah, you got kicked out. Amen. But let us tell you what happened. And Paul got comforted, just like he wrote Thessalonica. He said, look, I was comforted when I heard that you guys are still standing, even though we're only a short time. And they come down there, and Paul said, you know what? If it worked there, it's going to work here as well. He stands up and he emboldens himself. He's at Corinth. He's like, look, I'm going to preach the same gospel here. I got my boys here. Got Silas. I got Timotheus. They talking about how people got saved at Thessalonica. They're going on for God. It wasn't in vain. It's not going to be in vain again. I'm going to give these same challenging words to this crowd here. And I believe when it said down there, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. They really got busy there. Jesus being Jehovah is salvation, Christ being the anointed. And so he preached to them and pressed to them and let them know that Jesus was salvation. Jehovah God was salvation. Christ was indeed the anointed. There is no other Messiah. There's nobody else coming. And you guys understand that. Nobody else is coming. Hey, I preached it in the synagogue. I'll preach the same thing here. Why? Because it's the gospel message that's going to save you. And I believe he was really emboldened and encouraged. And so Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and witnessing at the same time. Amen. He's preaching it. Amen. In verse number 4. But now he's witnessing in verse number 5, going some one-on-one things here with the gospel message. Amen. And so we see the Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and witnessing the report that he received from Timotheus and Silas from the church in Thessalonica, but also the resolve he showed in preaching the gospel. He had his team back with him. He's no longer alone like he was in chapter 17, and he's excited. And I tell you what, folks, sometimes we have to go it alone. Sometimes we have to give the gospel alone. Sometimes nobody's going to be with you. And you've got to trust in the Lord. And you've got to trust in the power of his might. And you've got to get out there and boldly stand. And by the way, still a few folks did get saved in Athens. So let's not discount that. Look back in the end of chapter 17. Where it says down there... Was it 30? Yeah. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius of the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and other with them. So some folks still got saved. Wasn't a whole lot, but some folks got saved. And so sometimes you're going to have to go it alone. And when you go it alone, you got to go in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to go in the authority of the Word of God. You can't go out there trying to preach your own gospel of Christ, amen. His death, his burial, and his resurrection, amen. Give him the book, amen. You say, well, nobody got saved. Don't matter. God didn't send you to save nobody. He just said, give them the gospel. What they do with the gospel is on them, amen. God just says, I'm holding you accountable to make sure you give it out, amen. So whether it's one of you, whether it's two of you, whether it's five of you, still give it out, amen. Because you never know who may get saved. And next week when we come back, we're going to see the next part here. Paul had no problem preaching the gospel when not wanted. Notice what it says in verse number 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I think we've heard that somewhere before. I'm clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. So Paul had no problem preaching the gospel when not wanted, you know. If somebody doesn't want the gospel, you know what the best thing that you can do? If I go to Brother Duffy and Brother Duffy says, I don't want your gospel. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Guess what? There's almost always more fish in the sea. If I go over here, when I share the gospel with you, he says, I don't want that. There's another fish right there. And guess what? If all of you turn down the gospel, there's still more fish outside these doors. There's always another door you can knock on. It tickled me. We were out there passing out some tracts on Sunday or Saturday. I told you guys about that. And this one lady comes up here and wants to jump all on Mark. You can't do that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to tell and yada, yada, yada and hoot, the hoot, the hoot. And, you know, Mark says, well, ma'am, I'm sorry, but we're authorized to do this. By law, we are. But, my pastor, you can talk to my pastor. And so she found the pastor. You can't do this and yada, yada, yada and hoot-de-hoo and all this other stuff. And I said, man, we're authorized to do this by law. Well, I've been living here for 30 years. And then she had the audacity to say, we don't want that. Nobody here wants that. Now, you going to speak for everybody? So how come I talked to several folks who did want that? And I said, ma'am, I beg to differ. I said, there are some people here that do want it. And then she had the nerve to say, that's not very Christian. Obviously, you ain't read the book. That's very Christian. The ones that don't want it, guess what? Go to the next one. Obviously, you don't want it, so give my flyer back. She held on to the flyer, though. She never did call me pastor. She says, I'm going to tell the manager. I'm going to tell the manager. Tell him. I said, the phone number's on there. Tell him to call. I'd like to talk to him. I might get him saved or her saved. She might have been the manager in disguise. I don't know. But you know what? Mark kept his cool. He kept his Christianity. He didn't get offensive. With her, he didn't get mean. Neither did I. And Faith was with me. And Faith said, Daddy, she was mean. I said, well, baby, we don't be mean back to him. I said, recompense no man evil for evil. I said, God is the rewarder. I said, God's going to bless our efforts. What am I saying? Paul was by himself. He could have gotten a little discouraged. But he goes, and they oppose themselves, and they blaspheme. He shook his raiment. Said unto them, you know, your blood's on your own heads. I'm clean. He said, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, also to the Greek. You don't want it? Okay. There's a whole bunch of Gentiles out there to do. Praise God. I'm glad because I'm a Gentile. By the way, if you're not Jew, you're a Gentile. So I'm glad. Because the gospel came to us. And so we'll look at that next week, opposing of themselves there, and how Paul said, you know what? Fine, I'll go to someplace else. You know what? If somebody doesn't want your gospel witness and the message that you have, give it to somebody else. There's always somebody else. The one thing that tickled me when I was first came back to the States from Europe, and I told you all this before, and I was in Maryland, and I left a gospel tract. And the guy said, it's against the law to leave that there. And I said, it is. He said, you can't leave paraphernalia like that here. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, here, you can have it then. He didn't know what to say. He was lost for words. He was kind of like, I said, I can't leave it there. Okay, here, you can have it. I put it in your hand. And I don't know what he did after I left, but I know he kind of looked at me like, it's not supposed to work like that. You're supposed to pick it up and tuck your tail and run. Like, I'm not picking up and tucking my tail and running. No, I'm going to pick it up and give it to you. Wow, the gospel saves you. It ain't supposed to save this little cabinet over here. I put it on, amen. And, folks, don't back down. Don't be afraid. We have all the, there's going to come a time when we don't have the rights in this country to get the gospel. Let's take full advantage of it whilst we can. Because the laws are coming down where it's going to be hate crime. Because it's going to speak against all sorts of things out there. And the gospel separates and it divides. And some people aren't going to like that. They're going to start making laws that are going to prohibit you. But right now, it's not prohibited for us to do that. And we can do it. We can give it out. Let's give it out whilst we can, because it's coming a time when we can't. Amen. So Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and witnessing, and he was emboldened by Silas. He was emboldened by Timothy. He was emboldened by the witness that came from Thessalonica. And as a result, he was pressed in his spirit, and he testified. He witnessed. He compelled about Jesus Christ and him being the Jehovah God and being the anointed one. And there is no other. And of course, some people are not going to like that. And if they don't like it, amen, as they say before, you like it or you're going to lump it, amen. By the way, when people reject the gospel, they are never, ever the same. Say, preacher, why aren't they the same? Because the Holy Spirit convicts them. And they're going to be like Pharaoh, so pricked in their heart that they go to their grave being pricked. Or they'll be like Saul of Tarsus, so pricked in your heart that you get saved. But you can't remain neutral with the gospel. You're either going to be for Jesus or you're going to be against him. You're against him, that's a hard road to toe. But on God's side, that's a majority. As we leave here tonight, contemplate how you're going to be emboldened giving the gospel. You might be by yourself. You only have the Spirit of God to rely on and the Word of God. You might have coworkers that are saved that'll come alongside you. You may have a husband or a wife or a friend that can help you witness. But by all means, witness. Paul was pressed in his spirit. He didn't stop in Athens, did he? No. Was it easy? No. Did he stop? No. He was pressed in his spirit when he saw his buddies. When we go out there on Saturdays to do our soul winning, be emboldened. Be encouraged. Be enthusiastic. God is still saving souls. Amen. Brother Hall and I was talking about that. Lost people are all out there. We have the mission possible. We just have to find where they're at. Say, preacher, how are we going to do it? Are you one of the ones that need to be saved? No. Close the door. Are you one of the ones? No. Sooner or later, it's going to be a yes. People that need to be saved are all out behind these doors. Our job is just to find out where they're at. That's why Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations. You're bound to find them. Our job is just to go. And sooner or later, you're going to knock on that door and you're going to find them. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for giving us this time together. Lord, bless now in the next moments as we lift up prayer requests to you. And Lord, we pray that through it all, you would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for Paul and, Lord, his example of faithfulness by himself. He was still a fireball and a firecracker. But, Lord, when he had the news from Timotheus and Silas about the church in Thessalonica, Lord, he was that much more bold and pressed in the spirit what he wanted to say, what he wanted to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless now the prayers that we send up, Lord, and give us what we're going to need on Saturday to give the gospel to those that will be here at the memorial service. And then, Lord, help us to give you, all of us, that the souls may be saved on Saturday if there are lost people that come to the memorial service. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. The requests have already been put in for things that we have need of. Guide us in our prayers. Help us as we set up as well. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.